Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Coming up on TMS, Land O'Lukes.
What's under your eye patch?
Shit sneeze.
Deep Roy, devourer of worlds.
Leaking schmoo fluid from the ding dong.
Tiny four-year-old shit.
My wife, the xenomorph.
Breakfast nudes.
The card always says moops.
Wendy's old-fashioned jawbreakers.
He's 10 years younger. Does that make him my cousin or my nephew?
Microsoft Luggage Simulator.
Check under the burger lid.
GoPro on a stick with Bill.
You're not Bill, damn it, with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
This toy comes with something that can really open up a kid's imagination. Its own legend. It's the Masters of the Universe collection. And for my kids, the legend begins here with Castle Grayskull.
Some Pepsi soda in a bottle.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Would you like a closer look?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Morning Stream. It's April 4th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Well, hello, Scott, and happy Tuesday to you. April 4th.
Yeah, April 4th. We're careening ever so quickly to Vegas, TMS Vegas, everybody.
Oh my gosh, no kidding. Yeah.
It's like no
weeks
time
from
at all.
Today I will be probably a big stress basket, and people will be saying, "Oh, Brian, can I buy you a drink to help calm you down?" And I'll say, "Okay."
Mm-hmm.
And
you'll
be fine.
And then you'll be fine cuz you'll have that drink, see.
Yeah, no. That won't do it.
No, but look at it this way. By tomorrow this time, a little more relief,
a lot more relief. I'll have time to play some board games
and
then some vidya games later, and it'll be fine. Actually, and you know what, I'm doing so much prep ahead of time this time that trip last week probably reduced my anxiety level by 80%, just because I was able to see, here's the stage, here's where this is going to be, here's where that's going to be, the people will be sitting there, mm-hmm. Claire will likely be sitting over there, there'll be a drink in her right hand.
It's good to have on the ground perspective ahead of time if you can.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's good that you got to do that. That's really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
We're going to have a blast. And I'll tell you what, that board game time will be your first time playing Dungeon Murder. I'm bringing a deck with me.
Ooh,
yeah.
A little preview trial.
Preview.
Huh?
Cool. Yeah, the Kickstarter might actually be live before that, but the no physical copies will be available except for the one I'm bringing. So get ready to figure out if you'd like my game or not.
Cool. I'm sure we're going to love it.
Find out the hard way. All right. Let's
get
into
it. I can't wait
to
find out all the typos.
Please do. I've already had a couple of them come up that I was like, really? How did I miss those? And not only how did I miss them, I've had four separate people, one of whom is a full-time, that's what they do in their real job, copy editor, zip right by him. So we're good now. I'm pretty sure that there might be one fix in the deck that I have now that will be fixed in the final, but I think we got it all. Cool. But there's always something, dude. We're gonna find out.
Exactly.
Nobody publishes a book without finding out 6 months later that there was a "the" in the wrong place or something.
The card always says moops.
Yeah,
the card says moops.
It always says moops. Yeah, how do you do that? Every time you bring up a Seinfeld, okay, we're going to suss this out. Bring up a Seinfeld reference, almost, not always, but 9 times out of 10, the night before I saw that episode,
Did you just watch the Bubble Boy episode? Yes. Seriously?
We watch it at night before bed. It's just like a usual thing we do, and the Bubble Boy episode was on, and I don't know how you do that. You've done this before many times, maybe not every time, but many times.
It's almost like I have a camera in your house.
Oh, shit! Well, you actually do, I guess, right now, looking at me, but...
So, oh, yeah, it's true. Hey, there you are. Right there.
He definitely doesn't have one in my bedroom above on the wall pointing down.
No, no, gosh.
No, hell no.
No, I can't wait to, Dr. Calhoun points out, yeah, watch Parasite, you coward. I can't wait to bring us some Parasite quotes, and then say, oh, we just watched it last night.
Yeah, see, let's do that. Maybe that's all we need is Brian to bring up a thing, a line. Do you know a line from Parasite? Give me a good line.
No, I can't. Oh, I can't give you a line from Parasite.
There's your problem.
There's some Korean sing-songy thing that one of the characters does that I really like, but... it's No Nacho Nacho, the other foreign film that I'm trying to get you to read.
Oh, yeah, right. Nacho Nacho. Gotta watch the freaking RRR, man.
Gotta watch RRR.
There's no reason...
None whatsoever.
That should have jumped ahead. Like, you know, Parasite, whatever. It is what it is, but RRR has so much other stuff I know I'm going to like.
Yes.
I don't know what my deal is on that.
Because you're going to just freaking love it, because it feels like such a throwback to the Jean-Claude Van Damme action, you know, kind of stuff. It's just so good.
Yeah, and a good dub, which is what I need. I need a good dub.
It is a good dub. It's a fine dub.
Yeah, it's a fine dub. All right. I got a funny thing to tell you. So last night, this is going to be interesting pre-top of the show stuff here, because we got a little story, and then I have 3 phone calls in a row from listeners, all really important stuff from listeners, all right? Before we get to that, though, I want to tell you something funny. So the little ones were here yesterday. Taylor was out this side of town getting doctor's appointments for the baby. She was getting some shots. Mm-hmm. It's what you do with the babies. You get shots. You have certain stages where you do it. She's 26 weeks old. I don't know what shot that is, but it is whatever it is. And so they're here hanging out, and apparently, well, I'll tell you what happened first, then I'll tell you why. Okay. So my wife, was it Kim? Somebody in the house sneezed. It wasn't me. It was either Taylor or Kim sneezed really hard. Maybe it was Carter, but somebody sneezed really hard, just kind of choo, like that.
Yeah.
And off in the kitchen, I hear a little tiny 4-year-old little boy go, shit. Like that. And I was like, what the frick is that? And turns out, you know, you'd think a kid might be trained at 4 to say it, bless you, or Gesundheit, or something that he's heard.
Something like that, yes.
And I looked at his mom, and she goes, no, it's because every time I sneeze, I say shit.
And really?
I'm like, what?
Why is that?
I don't know. I said, why do you do that? She goes, I don't know. I just do. And I said, and then I reminded her, you know, you're the little girl who... made me have a swear jar when you were like 3, because every time I swore, you would get mad at me and you said, daddy, you got to put money in the swear jar. And now you say shit after every sneeze. Are you kidding me? Anyway,
what a weird, I mean, you know, if you like hurt yourself when you sneeze, I can say, oh shit, you know, like that. But
all right. She doesn't have that excuse. Nothing hurts. She's just yelling shit. And then so now that's what he does. So if anyone sneezes, and I'm really excited to have like Kim's mom around next time this happens.
Oh, yeah, that'll be great. Yes.
Just exactly. Like a big, and he'll just go shit in the other room. Anyway, 4-year-olds are great. I just want to put that out there. They're hilarious. They make me laugh. And also, I can't believe he's 4.
Tina used to give Tristan, you know, rides everywhere as a kid, as parents do. You know, the kids can't drive themselves yet because they can't reach the pedals. But she, you know, when she drive him around, she didn't realize how often she would say, what the hell? Like, you know, basically she'd say that whenever a car cut in front of her or something like that.
Sure.
Imagine she still does it. And we got the family together to meet for dinner at the Armadillo Mexican restaurant, no longer around here in Denver. But, they sit Tristan down. Grandma's here. Grandpa's and great grandma's here. And as soon as they put food in front of him, Tristan goes, what the hell?
That's great.
It's great how they pick up on those things and not the things you want them to.
Yeah, all the other, you know, the entirety of the rest of their language that they've learned. They don't say that. Exactly. They just say, what the hell, or shit.
Yes,
which exactly. Which is great. Anyway. I was going to ask you. You reminded me of something I was going to ask. It was a Tristan related question. Can't remember it now.
Oh, okay. There was a thought. There was a chance he was coming to TMS Vegas, but unfortunately, work is going to get in the way of that. But hopefully, future TMS Vegas will get the return of Tristan.
Same thing happened with Carter. She was going to come this year and then couldn't because of work.
Did Carter ask, am I going to have to keep score on anything? Because that's what Tristan asked. Like, are you going to make me have to keep score on this game you're doing? I'm like, no, you don't have to keep score.
I don't know. I don't know if she's in the chat this morning, but she has a love-hate relationship, I think, with that. I don't want to speak too much for her because she may counter this. But I think that she really, looking back, I think she really loved that her and Tristan got chosen for that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that it made them really nervous leading up to it, though.
Yes, you know? And I found out a lot of the reason why. Tristan finally told me. I don't think he ever told me beforehand, but it came out when I said, no, you're not going to have to keep score. And he's like, good, because that was stressful. Because apparently when we were doing the trivia thing, I wouldn't look to him and Carter and say, yep, that's 2 points for this team, 1 point for that team for that question. Yeah. I would just keep plowing through. Like game show, like keeping going, assuming that they know if the answer is correct or incorrect, so they know to score. And so Tristan he basically had someone in the audience that he made eye contact with that would give him the high sign or the low sign.
Oh, that's great!
Depending on if he needed to add points. And I don't know if Carter had the same thing, but
I don't know if she did
really
or not.
Funny now, to find this out.
Now I want to find out. Do you know who it was in the audience? Do we know who that was?
I have no idea.
I want to give that person
somebody,
a shout
I'm sure
out.
It was somebody front row, so it was probably, the Jensens or something.
Yeah, that was nice, whoever that was. That's cool that they did that.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that was a lot of pressure for them because, you know, you're in a room with 1,000 people and it's, you know, this bunch of trivia you may not know. You're high school kids. You're trying to not screw it up. Like
exactly. You don't want to have a very public screw up, especially with an occasional angry Veronica on stage.
Yeah, no kidding.
Who might be upset if the points that she just earned on a question were not accurately tallied.
Exactly. She's going to Wolverine on everybody and slice everybody to bits. So, yeah, that's a lot of pressure. Did we either taught them a great lesson or we added to a pile of anxiety they didn't want?
We basically set them up for therapy later on.
Yeah, sure. I just don't know which. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to play these calls.
Cool.
801-471-0462 is where these came to. That's our voicemail line. You guys can call anytime, leave us a voicemail, and we'll play it on the show. Here's if I can find them. There we go. This is one about, it's Luke, and he called in, and it just seems like there was some confusion, so I wanted to play it. Here it is. I call this clip, Will the Real Luke Please Stand Up? Here you go.
Howdy, gents. It's Luke in Boulder, and I was listening to the contest the other day, and you mentioned that it was a Luke and that it was a Johnson. But that this person maybe lives in Iowa, and I live in Boulder, Colorado. So I guess I didn't win, which is, you know, a bummer, but kind of amazing that there's two different Luke Johnsons that also listen to the show. So just spread the news, or maybe I did win.
Nope, you didn't win, but you can win anytime. So don't worry, Luke, the future is yours. Right. But here's the funny thing. There's a Luke Johnson in Boulder. There's this Luke Johnson in Iowa who won, and my nephew is Luke Johnson, and he lives in Vegas, of all places.
Right, he's part of the band, yeah.
Yeah, so weird. All the Luke Johnsons,
so many
just
Luke
everywhere.
Johnsons, yeah.
Yeah, you can't get enough of them. We're lousy with them.
All born roughly around 1977.
Oh, weird.
I really don't know if any of them were born.
I don't know either. Actually, let's see. Luke would have been, Luke's 10 years younger than me, so... Yeah. Wait, does that make him my cousin or my... No, he's my nephew. He's my brother's kid.
Age really wouldn't define whether he's a cousin or a nephew.
Well, 10 years just seemed like short, right? Like,
it really just depends on when your brother or your sister had
him. My brother's 10 years older than me. Oh, no, this makes sense, because he was 19 when he had the first kid, which is Luke, and then I would have been 10. Yeah, that makes sense. We're all good now. Everything's good now.
Oh, good. Excellent. Yeah. Good. I would like to, you know, maybe we have a some sort of scheduled, planned Luke Johnson off, and for one of our trivia competitions, one of the you know, asses or feuds or something.
Yeah,
it's
get all the
battle
Luke Johnsons.
Of the Luke Johnsons to see which Luke Johnson reigns supreme.
Yeah, I'd love that. Yeah. I love my nephew, so that'd be cool. I don't know if we're going to see him or not. I hope we do, but he may
hope
come
so.
Around.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hangs out with James and Svet here and there. So
cool.
They have some common band roots. All right, here is. Oh, remember my neighbor yelling misdemeanor outside?
Oh, yes, right. We oh, my God. Are we going to get an answer to this finally?
Possibly. Here's a theory that came in via the call line. Here you go.
Hey, Scott and Brian. This is for TMS. My theory for your misdemeanor guy, he's probably listening to a podcast. And that was an answer to a question or his vocal comment that he forgot nobody else is listening to what he's listening to, and he just blurted it out. All right, thanks. Bye.
Common thing for podcast listeners, right?
Totally, yes. Yeah, but we have listeners who've accidentally shouted something on the bus, probably mm-hmm. like Pumbaa, or
you know, like, yeah, or yell something out in the office or something. They got headphones on,
exactly,
and like,
exactly. A name that we're not able to remember. They're correcting us, or they're telling us. Yeah.
So probably not our show, because I don't think we ever brought up misdemeanor. Plus, I don't think Tesla listens to anything I do. Although he always talks like, how are the shows? How are the shows going? Every time I see him.
Oh, cool.
Like, they're going good. You could tune in, you know, and check him out.
Do you want him to, though? I mean, yeah, I know we're, really. I know you're on good terms, but...
Yeah, everything's good now. I think if he'd listen now, it'd be fine. But if he went back to 2015 and heard a few episodes, you might not love that. Because that was, you know, we were at odds. Yeah. There was a bit of a kerfuffle.
Yes, exactly. So now... This is an episode you don't want him to listen to, because now he knows to go back to 2015 if he wants to hear.
Yeah, don't listen to this one either.
So don't listen to this episode. Maybe the next episode is the one you want to listen to.
That makes sense. I appreciate the theory, and I actually think it holds water. I think it's a pretty good theory. So
could have been listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me or something, right?
Yeah, it could have been anything. Anything with a trivia answer or... Yeah. I don't know. Your average podcast is what, three dudes in a room? So let's say there are three white dudes sitting around talking about a thing.
Three white dudes. Yeah, exactly.
And it came up where they're like, oh, what do you call it when you, it's not a felony. It's when you just break a guy's windshield. What is that called? Yeah. And he's like, misdemeanor, he yells.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. I think that could have been it.
There we go. As good as anything else that we could come up with, I'm sure.
Yeah. I have no other good ideas on what this might be. I've been struggling with it. Here's one from, we got an idea about, we talked about casting Galactus.
Sure. Okay.
Because, you know, we got some Marvel stuff coming up that might include Galactus.
Good. Yeah, certainly. And Fantastic Four getting a new writer.
And I think we said something like Nicolas Cage or something, because we were... I don't remember why that came
up. Yes, because we talked about him being able to eat a planet for hours. Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. Duh. Yeah. Well, we got a call about that. Let's find out what they say.
Hello. You were talking about Galactus being Dick Cage. Well, here's a hot take for you. What about Deep Roy? Love the show, though.
Okay, so Deep Roy as Galactus is funny in the same way that Peter Dinklage was funny for...
That's... Yeah, and I feel Trigian or
whatever it was. Yeah.
And that's why I think they couldn't do it twice. I'd be like, you know, having two giants that are played by little people might be
a little too on the nose. That's a pattern after that.
Exactly. Yes. Maybe a pattern they don't necessarily want to go down.
Yeah. I was thinking about that after I got the call. I was like, I don't know if they can do it twice. You can do it once, maybe. Yeah. I think you get away with it. You know, it's kind of funny. It's like, oh, he's huge. That's hilarious. Almost empowering. It's almost like, hey, it's the opposite of your real life. And no one can be offended by that. But if you do it twice, you're like, okay, you guys, come on now.
Yeah, I think John Hamm as Galactus.
All right, hold on. It's not bad. I'm picturing
it. You know, big booming voice, strong jaw.
Picture a world that I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat that whole world.
Housewife sitting there. She's her husband's gone off to work. She's looking for something to do.
Have you seen
then
that?
Something catches her eye out of the
have you seen that?
Of the kitchen.
There's a meme floating around of John Hamm aged. He looks like 79 or something. It's supposed to be like, the idea is like, hey, what if we did a follow-up show? Maybe it was an April Fool's thing, I don't know, but what if we did a follow-up Mad Men 2 show? He's way older, he's still working in advertising, he owns the place now, and he's up pitching an idea in the early 2000s for that horrible Quiznos ad with the little monkeys or whatever it was.
The sponge monkeys or whatever they're called. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really caught me funny.
So I'll have to look for that. That's really, really funny.
But I'd be all right with John Hamm. I still don't know any other good. J.K. Simmons isn't bad, but he's already in the MCU, sort of. Not really, but kind of.
Yeah.
We think of him as J. Jonah Jameson.
He's in that, right. I mean, he's in the, if Tom Holland's Spider-Man is in the MCU, then so is that J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, right. Because he hung around for that. That's right. So he's still there. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he can do that.
Now he's the, like the shock jock, you know, kind of fake news spouting angry blogger. I don't want to say angry blog because all that makes me think of is Dr. Doom and how sad that was.
Which is such a sad idea. What a terrible freaking thing. Anyway, if you guys have not seen that commercial with the sponge monkey, waste a few minutes of your time and go check it out.
It's fantastic. And that was done by, a really clever art house that did like a great video for Lowe's cover of Independent Women by Beyonce or Destiny's Child. It's great. Yeah. That group is so awesome.
Yeah. So as much as people look at it and just think, what a weird, why would that ever get aired or whatever? I always liked it. It worked for me.
I did too. Yeah. It was memorable. It is an ad that we still talk about today. And that was 20 years ago.
20 years ago, or maybe even more. And I remember at the time going, ooh, I could go for Quiznos. This would be all right. You know?
Yeah.
What else do you want out of your ads? You want it to be memorable?
You want it to be memorable. You want somebody to think of it and immediately want your product. It totally works.
Yeah. Have it associate with the thing you think of. So I think of Quiznos every time. It's not hard to connect the two. I think it's like brilliant marketing.
I think so,
job.
Too.
Yeah.
Good so job. Yesterday, Steven brought up Jamie Madrox, Multiple Man. When we were talking about the Secret Invasion.
Yep.
I don't think that what we're seeing in there is Multiple Man. I think we're seeing Skrulls that are all looking like the same
person. Oh, interesting. Okay. It's not that character then.
I don't think it's that character.
Okay. But is it still, okay, there's still this issue of the Skrulls are fundamentally different in the MCU due to what they did with them in
things. They're villains in Captain Marvel, comics.
Yeah, and they're unapologetically villains. There's no they were actually better the whole time. We just didn't, you know, like they've taken a real turn with it. So it feels like calling it Secret Invasion invokes what the comic did, but they kind of can't the way they've set them up. Unless there's a faction of, like they're saying in the chat, maybe there's a faction of horrible Skrulls.
Exactly it. I think it's going to be a faction of evil Skrulls that have infiltrated Earth.
Okay, I'm actually looking forward to this series.
I am too. It looks like it's got the Winter Soldier vibes, and I'm all for it.
A little dark, a little gritty. I like seeing. I said Nick Cage. I like seeing Nick Fury without his patch. So all you see is this. But now that I know how he lost his eye, I'm kind of annoyed. I'm still annoyed about
a little
bit,
yeah.
I think that was a weird idea.
Listen, Flurgan's not a cat. It's a, you know, he got slashed by a Flurgan Flurkin.
That's true. Flurgan. A brutal alien slashed his eye.
Yeah, exactly.
And that should be how I think of it. But unfortunately, I think of it as a kitty.
You see it as just a cat, a tabby.
Yeah, just a little cute little tabby cat. Poked him in the eye. And Sam Jackson, who doesn't take any crap, who reads from the Bible before he shoots you in the face, now he's got a little kitty scratch. Like, I don't know. It's hard for me.
What's under your eye patch?
I haven't quite got over that yet, I guess. Anyway, otherwise, I quite like that movie. Let's move on. Yeah. We got some news to cover today. Thank you all for your calls, by the way. 801-471-0462 is the number. You can leave voicemails or texts. Yeah. At that line, we'll take either.
All of it works.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, email if you'd rather, themorningstream@gmail.com. Okay. We got some of this to do here. Let's push this button. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
Master Wabbit and his gaming stream at twitch.tv/MasterWabbit.
Okay, a little. He's been playing Splatoon 3, which is really fun to watch.
Oh, cool. Okay.
If y'all want. If you hear this stuff and you go, wait a minute, how come he's getting his cool thing mentioned? Here's what I do sometimes. I go into the Discord, the TMS channel in the Frog Pants Discord, and there's a group in there called, hold on a second,
Pimp My Stuff or something like that.
Something like that. Promote Yourself, it's called.
Promote Yourself, yes.
Pimp My Stuff sounds more MTV, and I like it better. We should change it.
Kind of does, yeah.
We should change it. Anyway.
Plus, I don't know how friendly the term pimp is anymore.
Like, yeah. You know. I don't know if, you know, pimps... We used to think of them as lovable, fur-wearing, cane-walking.
Huggy Bear, sure.
Sure, yeah. But it turns out they were kind of, and are kind of terrible. Anyway, when people post stuff in there, I go look in there and go, oh, this sounds like a cool stream. We're going to talk about that guy's thing. Or that's how I found out about the book and, you know, yeah, these sorts of things. Promote yourself is what I'm saying. So get in there, and if you got a thing that you do on the regular, or you just published something on Amazon, or you just made a cool thing and you just want people to see it, you got an Etsy channel or something... We'll just do it. These are like free little promos for you people. Okay?
Just do it.
Just do it. All right, Brian, here's our first story.
Okay.
A woman is suing. I'm trying to do more Vegas stories as we lead up to our trip.
Okay. All right, good.
I just figure, you know, why not?
And if nothing else, it gives us cautionary tales.
Yes.
Right? You know, we'll stay away from this intersection in Vegas because there's a chud living that pops his head out of the sewer every once in a while.
Yeah, which wouldn't surprise me with that weird underground stuff.
No, it wouldn't surprise me.
But we don't want to scare anybody. Vegas is a very welcoming town.
It is.
A great time. There are, you know, little corners of it that are a little sus, but you just need to know where they are and that sort of thing. You know, in Missoula we trust, in Brian we trust. Like, they know the town, we just listen to them, everything's fine. But, you know, there's little places you probably shouldn't go, and I just don't want to freak any of you out, all right? Everything's fine. It's all good. It's an oasis in the desert, Brian. It's a beautiful city on fire. Look at the lights and the smells and the attractions. I should work for the Las Vegas Tourism
Board. You should, maybe don't start. Maybe the tagline shouldn't be, it's a city on fire. Maybe that shouldn't be the...
You don't think?
What happens in Vegas burns in Vegas.
That's right. It's a city swarming with locusts. That was a few years ago. All right. A woman is suing Las Vegas Wendy's, a Wendy's location in Las Vegas, after she says a hamburger broke her teeth.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's not good. She filed a lawsuit on Thursday against the Las Vegas Wendy's after she claimed she bit into the hamburger, which contained pieces of glass-like particles.
Oh, God. I'd be more worried about the glass-like particles cutting my mouth than breaking a tooth, but whatever she bit into turned into glass-like particles after she bit it.
This actually brings up a question I've been wanting to ask on the show, and I always forget. When you get a burger, I don't care from where, fancy burger, cheap burgers, something in between, whatever.
Sure.
Do you open the lid to check things before you eat?
I don't. I never. I don't think I ever do. No.
I feel like I don't either, but I should when I read stories like this because I don't want. I mean, I did that one time with a burger that had the footmark in it.
Yeah, right.
Also a Wendy's.
Also happened to be a Wendy's, exactly.
You should do this more often.
I mean, if you do that, then, you know, why just limit it to burgers? Why not... you know, dump all the fries out of the container and kind of look through, make sure there's nothing but fries in there, and lift the steak and make sure there's nothing hiding under it.
That's true. I guess you could get really weird.
If you start down one hole, you're just going to overcheck analyze your food to death.
I think the problem is, or part of the problem is, a burger is, there's a couple things going on there. One, it's a self-contained cacophony of items. So there's meat, there's lettuce, there's tomato, there's condiments, there's all this stuff inside of this little package. Yeah. And also prepared by a 16-year-old somewhere, right?
Right.
So, you know, having that friend that worked...
Lift the lid, you're just going to see what's on top of the cheese. You're going to see some condiment action, but you're not going to see what's under the cheese or under the meat.
That's true. I don't get cheese anymore, so I have that one advantage, but it's not much of one because it's still, again, it's just a mess. Like, you don't know what's in that meat. It's probably in the meat. If it's a problem, it's either in the meat or under the meat.
Exactly, yeah.
You make a good point. I think we should all just trust in the burger we're given, you know? Yeah.
And if you run into glass-like particles, then, you know, just don't go there anymore.
Sue the pants off of Wendy's if that happens.
Exactly. Give an old-fashioned lawsuit.
Yeah. Dave Thomas in his grave, grinning and smiling and thumbs up in that idea. He loves it. Well, anyway, she did this. According to Clark County District Court, they broke her teeth, this stuff. Jennifer Haston, I think is how you'd say it.
Haston, yep.
Accused of the fast food restaurant on Rancho Drive near Craig Road. I don't know where that is.
No, me neither.
Of serving a burger with hard and clear glass-like particles in it. Court documents said when she began to consume the burger prepared and cooked by Wendy's and provided to her via the pickup window, she experienced a tremendous sense of shock and fear as her burger was not juicy and tender as expected, but instead consisted of hard and clear-like or clear glass-like particles that not only created loud crunching and breaking sounds, but in fact these hard and clear glass-like particles actually broke many of Mrs. Haston's teeth.
Oh, my God.
I'm just not sure. What is it again? Oh, I'm sorry. Glass-like particles. Yeah, I say that a lot. So I'm trying to think. If this happened to me, this kind of happened to Kim. She was at a Habit Burger.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about my wife, she has, I don't know how she did this, genetics or just something. Something's in the water in Mississippi, but she has perfect teeth and all her wisdom teeth. She has like extra teeth. She's like a xenomorph. She's got all these extra teeth and none of them need to be pulled. And they're perfect all around. They're white as snow. Just my wife and her teeth pisses me off how great her teeth are because I don't have those. Yeah, and she has hardly any work on them. I think she maybe had one cavity when she was a kid. Nothing as an adult. Just pristine. When they see her mouth, they go, oh, wow, can we take a picture of this?
Well, you're a patient of the month again, and there's a long
again every time you come, it all says Kim Johnson on there when she goes to the dentist.
Right.
But anyway, she we were at a Habit, and she bit down on a burger, and the burger didn't have glass-like particles in it, but it had a hard, like a little bone sinew.
Oh, sure, right, like ball. The cartilage-y, whatever.
Yeah,
the really tough.
Yeah. And hit that just in the right place and just hard enough that it cracked her most rear right tooth.
Oh, no.
And so she has a crown now as a result, but it's the only time she's ever had it.
They broke her streak, her perfect record.
She was so pissed, Brian. She was so mad. We weren't mad enough to sue, but it was like, I don't think
that would piss me off, too.
I don't think we've been back since then. It's not that they're, you know, you're always going to run this chance. Beef is beef and stuff's in there. Yeah,
exactly.
But we haven't been to the Habit in 3 years or something since it happened. But anyway, that's story number one.
I don't have one close by, so I can't.
Oh, you do have them in Colorado now, though, right?
Yeah, somewhere in Colorado, but not near me.
They're not worth. I mean, they're fine if you're near them, but you don't need to like go out of your way, I don't think.
Okay.
They're all right.
All right.
They're just like the same kind of thing you get at a... Oh, geez, I don't even know what else to compare it to. They're like the
Smashburger.
Yeah, Smashburger. That's actually, I would, if there was a Smashburger, Habit, and a Five Guys, the argument would be, is it Five Guys or Smash? Because I'd prefer either of those over
Habit.
Over Habit. Cool. It's not that Habit's bad. It's just of the three, it's not my favorite.
And those other two I've got close to me. So there we go.
Brian's got Five Guys right next to him.
I got Five Guys.
Just
arms reach away.
Oh, yeah.
At all times.
All right. Here's a story. Boy, I didn't mean to do this all about food, but I did. Ramen for breakfast? Well, cup of noodles. New flavor tastes like egg sausage and maple syrup pancakes. How you feel about this?
I'd try it.
Yeah, I'd try it.
I don't know.
I wouldn't seek it out, but I'd try it. Right?
Like, I would seek it out to try one for sure, because I'm a big fan of breakfast. I think it's the most important meal of the day, and you know, I like pancakes too. So
Can we get these? Maybe we should try these.
Imagine
on the
we
show.
Can. By the way, we have popcorn we have to try on the
show.
Oh
yeah, do you have it handy? Like right there.
I can have it within 60 seconds.
All right, here's the deal. You know what? Mine's right here. Maybe we do that. We just try these. You know what? Go.
You
want to take your 60 seconds. Yeah,
you finished talking about cup noodles, which doesn't have an of, which always blows my mind that they're not cup of noodles.
Yeah,
they're just cup noodles.
This is a Mandela thing for me.
It really is. Yeah,
I can't even look at it without saying it. It's too weird.
All right, I'll be right back.
All right, so Brian's gonna go grab his popcorn. We got some custom ass popcorn. Where's the? I have a. Hold on. Oh, somewhere. Oh, there it is. They have their business cards, so we can give them props. Anyway, ramen for breakfast. Cup of noodles, new flavor. Tastes like egg sausage and maple syrup. Cup noodles. I can't say it that way. That's effed. Cup noodles has already cornered the lunch and dinner market for people looking to dine on a dime, but now it's setting its sights on breakfast. The iconic ramen brand's latest product is its first designed product for the most important meal of the day. Cup Noodles Breakfast. It's a limited edition offering with bright, colorful package, advertising it being artificially flavored as maple syrup pancakes, sausage, and egg. Here's my plan. Somehow, some way, Brian and I are going to buy these, and we're going to try these on the show. We're going to get them for the show, and we're going to have Cup of Noodle Breakfast on the show. That's our cool commitment.
Awesome.
I don't know how or how soon.
More to those?
They're rare, or they're not rare. They're limited time only, so we probably have to find them soon. But if anyone out there has a line on them, and let us know, I'll Venmo you and get them coming. I don't know. Maybe I can just get them at the store. I don't know.
Might be able to. Yeah, I don't know.
These are part of that Nissin Foods USA thing. They said, by adding Cup of Noodles Breakfast to our lineup, we are truly feeding cravings around the clock, morning, noon, and night. Or late night, it says.
I want to say that when we went to Japan, there was the first morning, and we were looking for breakfast, and we ended up at one of these places that you basically have a big panel when you walk into the restaurant, and you actually pay for your meal using like coins and bills.
Yeah.
With this panel, choosing what you want, it spits out a little ticket. You take the ticket to the front, and then they give you the food that you ordered. And,
interesting.
One of those things was noodles. I don't think it was a full-on ramen bowl of like ramen soup, but it was
just noodles.
It was noodles for breakfast, which is like, oh, okay, cool.
I guess if it's just, I mean, it's just carbs, right? It's like having cereal or something. I don't know. It seems fine. I don't think it's going to be that bad. We're going to try it. Okay, so we got on our hands this popcorn from the Popcorn Baron.
Yes.
Keith C. Perry Jr. That's a cool name.
Super cool. And I think we might have gotten different flavors because you mentioned Korean barbecue, I think.
I got Korean barbecue, and then where's the other one?
Ambassador Domo says these will be available at Walmart starting tomorrow.
Oh.
These cup noodles things. So.
All right. I
actually have a Walmart connection. I got to see if I can use that.
Yeah, you have a direct one. I'm going to use my connection to Walmart is, hey, Kim, when you're out today, grab me some cup of noodles. And she'll say, isn't it cup of noodles? And I'll say, nope, it's cup noodles.
Surprisingly not.
Anyway, so this, the kind I got here is the Korean barbecue. I can't find the other bag. I know I have actually there's two bags. One of them had, so there's three. I got three total. Two of these are savory. One was sugary. So Kim took the sugary one because I can't have
that.
Those would be bad for me, but I can test these Korean barbecues here, which are very dark. I mean, that's dark. Look at that.
That is. Look at that. So we did get different flavors because I got cinnamon roll, honey barbecue, and butter chicken.
Oh my gosh. Butter chicken.
Butter chicken. So I'm going to start. I guess I should start with the savory and then
make my way down. That sounds amazing.
Butter chicken. I know. This should be really, really good.
Butter chicken popcorn, you guys.
I know.
I can say with some authority the last bag that I can't find is good because I did taste one, but then I bagged it up. That means somebody took it.
Uh-huh. Let's blame the kids. Time to blame Nick.
Time to blame Nick. When was Nick here and what did he do?
Yep.
All right.
All right. I'm going to try the butter chicken while you try the Korean barbecue.
All right. Here we go. Oh, my Lord. Mm. Oh, wow.
Oh, that's fantastic.
These are flavor blasted, man.
Mm.
Are yours like super intense?
Super intense. I am like, I'm at an Indian restaurant right now having butter chicken.
Wow, this has a kick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and if you look at them, these kernels are just buried in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the kind of snack you don't want to like eat the whole thing. You want to like spread this one out.
For sure. All right.
These are great. Hold on. It's keep going with your other flavors.
Yep. All right. I'm going to switch to honey barbecue. I'll save cinnamon roll for last.
They don't have a website on here. Is there a Discord or something?
I have a Discord link or like a QR code. All right. I feel like I should have a cup. Ah, no, never mind.
What were you going to do?
I was going to have some coffee in between to kind of cleanse my palate. But
oh, right. All I have is water.
Mmm.
Which one's that? Holy cow. Which one's that?
Honey barbecue.
Is it good?
I feel like Violet Beauregard. I'm like describing the everlasting gobstopper as every flavor.
Oh, no.
Comes into play.
You're going to turn purple.
Second course is chicken.
Yeah.
And it's like roasted chicken with honey barbecue sauce on it.
Yeah, we're going to roll Brian out of here when he's done.
That's right. Oh, here comes dessert. Yeah. It's a cinnamon roll with all the trimmings.
Oh, man. Yeah, shoot. Mm. I was hoping to send people to a website. He does have other stuff, though. Like on Twitter, he's at G-E Kio. So G-E-K-I-O-H.
Hmm.
I would seek this shit out. God. It's really good. It's fantastic.
I don't want to take these back upstairs because I don't want Tina to have any of them.
Well, you should hoard them. You should keep them all for yourself. Yeah. Big fan?
Holy crap. This cinnamon roll is fantastic. Is all it? Right.
I think that's what Kim got. Yeah. She won't let me have it because it's sugary. It's probably, and that's good because I can't be doing sugar.
Yeah. Yep.
Were the same people? No, separate people sent me. I don't have their name here, so I probably should bring it up.
Same people sent it to you, but it was a different. Like, Natalie got this stuff from the Popcorn Baron.
Oh, that's what it was.
Also got these other. Yeah,
the gummy bear
sugar-free
stuff.
Gummies.
Yeah, these sugar-free gummies. These Albanese brand. Shocked by these. They're zero sugar. Let's see.
And then we gave you the poops?
No, these like don't. That's like what I love
Amazon,
about it.
Amazon.
Because the Amazon jelly beans were terrible. They gave me the poops like nobody's business because they were all sugar alcohols. This thing's like some other stuff. They come off a little sour, but I actually like that.
Ooh,
these are great. Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you, everybody, for your contributions, in particular, her. What was her full name again? Do we have her full name?
Natalie. I don't know her.
Don't have her last name. Natalie, thank you so much. That was really nice.
Natalie and the guy's name and the cats, if I remember correctly. Yep. I can't remember the guy's name either. I'm horrible.
Can't remember either. And then Keith C. Perry.
Natalie Taylor. Natalie Taylor.
Natalie Taylor. Awesome.
Yes. Natalie Allen and the cats. There we go. My apologies to Alan for forgetting his name.
I played bass for Natalie Allen and the Cats for a while.
Did you?
Yeah, it was all right. They didn't really have a good direction in the end, and we had to break the band up. Let's see. One more story here. We got a four-year-old boy who became the youngest person on the planet to publish a book.
Ooh.
Oh, I like a little feel-good story.
No kidding.
Here's your story. United Arab Emirates boy became the world's youngest person to publish a book at the age of only 4 years old and 218 days. So he's working on five.
Wow, no kidding. Yeah, really.
It's weird to think he's Van's age. Guinness World Records and Saeed Rashid Amiri was 4 years old and 218 days old when he published his first book, The Elephant, Saeed, and the Bear. The record was verified when his book sold 1,000 copies. I guess there's a threshold you have to hit to... Say you've published a book. I don't know.
Just say exactly. Yeah. Because you could draw something on a piece of paper, fold it in half, and say, it's my book.
Yeah. And I feel like that would be slightly disingenuous to do that.
Yes, exactly.
Let's see here. It says here his book, or Amiri's book, is about kindness and friendship. And he was inspired by his sister, Adiabi, is her name, who holds the Guinness World Record for the youngest person to publish a bilingual book as a female and youngest person to publish a bilingual book series, also female category.
Jeez.
He says, I love my sister so much and I enjoy playing with her all the time. Well, he's quite the little speaker for four. We read, write, and draw and do many activities together. I wrote my book inspired by her as I felt I could have my own book too. All right.
You've set your bar already pretty high. Good luck the rest of your life trying to live up to that.
Yeah, no kidding. Where do you go from here? At five, you'll be the first person to... I mean, I don't know. Where do you go from there? I don't know. Yeah, maybe we're witnessing the next great brain, you know?
We could be. Exactly.
This is going to be the future will be a TED Talk, and then after that, everyone will go, oh, I can't believe he did a TED Talk at 5 years old. And then at six, he'll fix cancer or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, and then at eight, he'll announce his retirement.
Yeah, and that'll be the end of it.
That'll be the end of it.
That's going to do it for today's news. When we come back after this break, we'll talk to Bill, who's been fishing in Florida.
Nice.
We'll see how he's doing. Hopefully he didn't get any of that nasty weather down there.
I hear it's his brother's birthday today.
Oh, just his brother, though.
Just his brother.
Not him.
Yeah, just his twin brother.
Yeah, not him, though. Because
we'll have to tell him to wish his brother a happy birthday
from
us.
Yeah, please do. Anyway, we'll have him here. We got Bobby here. Got a question from a listener for Bobby. All kinds of fun stuff coming up. But we need to take a musical break. And Brian, as usual, prepared a song. So what do you got today?
Oh, I love this. All right. So if you're a fan of like the mid-1990s alternative rock bands, things like Superchunk, Material Issue, the heavier stuff that Toad the Wet Sprocket did, stuff like that, you're going to love this. This is a Brighton, UK band called Harker, H-A-R-K-E-R, and such great stuff. This is really, really good. This is a brand new track from their it's a brand new single that they released last week. It's called Wasting Time. Here is Harker.
Do you ever look at Instagram accounts devoted to you being a heartthrob when you're feeling down?
Yes, I do.
The Morning Stream. Raw meat. Do you like raw meat?
And we returned. Who is that one more time, that performer?
Yeah, that is the punk rock powerhouse Harker from Brighton, UK, and their brand new single, Wasting Time.
Nice. I feel like we don't have enough hardcore punk rocker type moderny things
anymore. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't it all the... turned into kind of the emo punk like Blink-182 and
mm-hmm. And that's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. We don't mind, but you know, where's the modern Sex Pistols, you know?
Exactly, yes.
What happened to them? We know what happened to them. What happened to, I don't know.
Well, we know what happened to a couple of them anyway. I don't even know what happened to all of them, but.
They're both, they've been put in their holster. The Sex Pistols they're being properly cared for. You know, it's your Second Amendment right to hold a Sex Pistol in your hand, but.
That's right.
You need to be trained and have a permit.
Make sure you go to classes to handle your sex pistol.
Yeah, yeah. All of those things are important for sure.
There's still something wrong, isn't there, Bill?
Oh, look who it is. It's I always forget the fart at the end. Bill Duran joining us from punishedprops.com and recently returned from a big fishing trip or something down there. What do you tell us about that? What'd you do?
Sure. So my parents vacation in Florida every winter now because they're retired. And when you live on the East Coast, that's what you do.
Right.
They used to go down to Sanibel Island, but a hurricane clean wiped that right off the map.
So
we went to Key Largo. We went down to the Florida Keys. I've never been down there. Brittany and I visited for just a week, but my parents were down there for a solid month, and they did lots of fishing.
Oh, wow. Did you fishing, you catch anything? I saw a photo, I think, of you doing
something. Oh, yeah. We caught many fish. Fishing is the thing to do down there, turns out.
Yeah.
Everyone's very into it. Sure, every house has a boat lift to put their boat in the water. And it was a whole thing, but it was really fun. fishing isn't exactly my thing, but my dad's very into it. He has a boat that they trailered all the way down there. And we got to go out in the ocean and do some fishing, which I've never done before. And I threw up a lot.
Just from the boat rocking?
Oh, gosh.
So we went out one day, and it was really just rolling waves about 3 feet, and just enough of that over an hour or two was enough to upset my belly. I was not the only one. My dad's friend Ed was there. He was also throwing up, so
It's a great way to chum the water though and get those fish in.
That's exactly what we were doing. And there were many fish, and I did catch a fish that day. I caught one good keeper, a yellowtail snapper. We ate it later.
Yeah.
Ooh, yum.
But we got to go out again the next day, and it was much calmer, and I didn't throw up, and we caught a bunch more fish.
Did you feel like you had your sea legs by then? Like, you could handle it better or something? That's what they always say, right? You just do it long enough.
Yeah, right.
Get used to it.
This was more just the weather was better. The weather was nice and calm. Yeah.
You're like my wife. She has the worst motion sickness stuff. Worst. When we went on that cruise, day 5 was like a choppy day at sea.
Oh, no.
Not a good day. Bad day.
No.
Yeah, it's fine. It's miserable.
The sea was very angry that day, my friends.
Yeah.
I'm usually pretty good. Yeah. I grew up boating and stuff. I'm usually pretty good, but there's something about like trying to retie a hook while you're staring at it and the boat is just bobbing up and down by like 3 feet. That did me in.
That can be a lot. Well, I'm glad you had a good time and got away. There's nothing wrong with that. Sounds nice. While you were gone, I thought of you a lot because I got, you know, once again, completely obsessed with Dyson Sphere program, which is, you know, one of these automation freaking things. My gosh, that game just gets its claws into you and you don't want to stop. I kind of had to quit and do other stuff because I was doing it at night and I was dreaming all night about conveyor belts and where to put them and why this particular one is all jammed up and another one hardly has anything on it. Did I forget an intake thing somewhere? Like all of those things you go through while you're playing one of these games, satisfactory like that as well. Yeah. And I just thought, oh, where's Bill when I need him? He'd probably have a good solution for the stupid belt. Anyway.
I haven't tried that one. I haven't tried Dyson Sphere yet. We did dive into V Rising recently.
Oh, V Rising is great.
Survival crafting.
Yeah. We love that game. That game's
thoroughly
great.
Hooked.
Yeah, that game is certified crack. I had to do a similar thing with that one. I had to had to get off of it for a while, but
cold turkey, yeah.
But this whole like daylight, stay in the shadows thing—it's pretty unique. It's pretty cool.
It's neat. It is neat. I'm gonna be probably playing that all today.
Yeah, and probably make a prop or two is my guess.
Yeah, probably.
You never know. Speaking of which, what did you bring for us today to talk about?
Sure. So while I was down in Florida, other than fishing, there is a lot of wildlife. Of course, I did some photography.
Oh, good.
Shot some animals. My camera.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Camera. Okay. That's the only way to shoot them.
Yeah.
That's great. I agree. My mom was also there, and she is the photographer that inspired me to be a photographer. So the two of us were out there trying to get shots of whatever the local wildlife is, whatever I can't shoot when I'm up here.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw tons of stuff. So there were iguanas everywhere. In fact, I just tweeted out a handful of photos that I took while I was out there. If you want to check those out.
I'm gonna, yeah.
Iguanas everywhere, but the birds are really what we were into. And the bird that I had never seen before was a great white heron. We see lots of great blue herons, especially where I'm from in New York, and around here in the Pacific Northwest. But I've never seen a great white heron before, and there were a couple of them around.
Oh, these shots are so good, dude. Oh, my gosh. What, yes. National Geographic knocking at your door or what?
So here's how we did that. My mom had been doing recon before I got there, so she kind of knew where to find the birds. And one of them was just in the it was a short boat ride from where we were staying. And we would go out at sunset every night during the golden hour. And we knew where the birds were going to be. So we just motor our boat over there and just take some photos of him and maybe see if he'll take off and try and take a photo of him while he's in the air.
Oh, very cool.
That's awesome.
But yeah, very much owed to my mom having done a little bit of recon and research before we got there so that we knew exactly where to go to get the shots that we wanted.
That's
so
great.
We saw lots of great white herons. We saw lots of egrets, which are very similar, slightly smaller white birds. Tons of pelicans, of course. They're like pigeons around here. There's just pelicans everywhere. Well, we also saw frigate birds, which I had never seen before.
I don't even know what really, that is. What's a frigate bird?
Yeah. They're really big. They fly really high up, and they can stay in the air for like days at a time, which is kind of cool.
Well, that is cool. Also, I'm trying to think, because if they call them a frigate bird, that does imply size. Like, they got to be big. Because frigates, like in...
Unless they just hang around frigates. Like they
Oh, good point. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like if you're not going to call... Like if it's you got a power line bird, it's not because it's made of electrical...
It's shaped
whatever.
Like a power line.
Yeah. It's because it hangs around on power lines. No, that's really cool. I knew, you know, someone who appreciates birds like you probably... Every time you go to a place where you're going to have a different ecosystem like that, you probably get pretty stoked about what you're going to see.
I do, yeah. Especially, yeah, the stuff that aren't around here. And the frigate birds are huge, like 6 feet in wingspan.
Jeez.
Bananas.
Oh, wow.
We also saw osprey, which aren't that exciting. We have them around here. But I saw lots of them.
Yeah.
And I had my my long lens. I have a 600-millimeter lens. And we just keep it in the boat because we went out fishing a ton. And whenever birds showed up, I could just grab that and snap them while they're doing fun stuff. I got lots of photos of pelicans. Like, we'd catch a tiny fish and hurl it to the pelicans and try and get a photo of them eating it, because that's a weird creature. Mm-hmm. What other creature has a sack on their neck that they use to swallow fish?
Hold? Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Look, none of us get to use our sack for anything that cool.
No, certainly not. Not for eating, at least.
No, not at all. That's rad.
And then, so something else fun I got to do, I brought my GoPro and I zip tied it to a stick, to like a mop handle, so that I could shove it in the water and film animals that are near the water.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, this manatee thing or something.
And you'd have a remote, like you'd be looking on your phone at whatever it's capturing, right?
So you can kind of. You can. I tried that.
Yeah,
but the impedance from the water actually cuts the signal off pretty quickly.
Oh, really?
So I did try and view it while it was underwater. That didn't quite work. But you and I had the same idea.
Yeah.
So I would just sort of blindly stab under the water and hope that I could frame the manatee or whatever it was. But behind the house, where every house is on a canal, and your back yard is just water, and there's a little fish cleaning station there, so we'd clean the fish and then throw the bits in the water. And I got a video of a nurse shark at some point swimming around there, and then this manatee friend showed up and wanted to gobble up some
the cows of the sea.
Yeah,
yep,
yeah. Look
you
at
can
that.
See like scars and stuff on him.
Yeah, he's
yeah. What do you think that
big
is?
Old scratch on his neck there. Jeez,
what is that from? Do you think is that like another animal did it, or you get it from like a
frigate
boat?
Bird
with a knife? No, it's probably the propeller of a boat. It's very likely.
Man, he is banged up. Look at that in the back end too.
I'm kidding.
Well, good for him, and is vacuuming up all the shit nobody else wants to eat. That's what you want from your sea cow.
Good on him for getting that big, eating lettuce off the bottom of the the ocean. Right.
That's so cool. Look at you, Mr. Mr. Deep Sea freaking. Netflix will call you for their new Attenborough documentary anytime, Dad. No.
Yeah, my documentary is called GoPro on a Stick.
GoPro on a Stick. You know what? I would watch the hell out of a series called GoPro on a Stick.
For sure, yeah.
All the weird stuff you could do with a GoPro on a stick is an amazing idea for a show. Don't tell anyone. A good thing we're not on the air where lots of people hear this. Nobody tell anybody.
Yeah, no, I guess it's be our little secret. Yeah.
Bill Quest DSV says the chat. That's perfect.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
I had an idea. I wasn't brave enough to try this. My GoPro says it will survive up to 130 some odd feet underwater.
Mm.
And we were fishing in 130 feet of water. I considered tying my GoPro to the sinker on my fishing pole and just dropping it down 100 feet and see what it gets.
Yeah.
But there's no light down there. And I also didn't want to lose my camera. And I also didn't want to get crushed, it to get crushed by the depths. But
sure,
I was tempted. It would have been pretty cool.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Do you ever feel like you maybe had a second life in that career, you know, doing...
Like videography.
Yeah, like animal stuff and all that. I could see you doing that.
Yeah, I enjoy like the Attenborough nature documentaries, like that sort of stuff. And I'm always blown away when you see a shot, like a wildlife shot, and you're amazed by it. But then you stop to think, how did they get that?
Yeah.
How on earth did they get that shot? I would watch a documentary just about that, about how they get those shots.
Yeah, the how they made it stuff is fascinating because a lot of times it's just simply crazy lenses no one else has, or sometimes it's like...
Or sitting and waiting for a long time.
Just taking a ton of B-roll until that goat did a thing that you couldn't believe you caught on film. You
finally be able to use, like John Wilson, basically. John Wilson
That's a great way of putting it. He just does an urban version of the same damn thing.
Yeah.
Hope that new season comes soon. But anyway, this is great, dude. I always love your stuff with this. I always find it fascinating. Glad you could share it here.
And before we let you go, we have to wish you a happy birthday. Well, let's wish your brother a happy birthday.
Yeah, your brother's birthday today.
My handsome and charming, identical to a brother, Rob. Happy birthday, Rob.
That's right. He spent the week fishing for, I don't know, term papers or whatever he does now. He's a teacher, and it always cracks me up because I always felt like you guys could swap places one day and he could do some really weird build and you could teach a bunch of kids and no one would be the wiser. Nobody would know.
Freaky Friday, that business.
Yeah. When I was young, I wanted a twin so I could Freaky Friday everything.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen.
You know what? I never wanted to do that as a kid. I don't know why.
It turns out actual twins don't care the way we all think you should.
No.
It's weird.
This whole thing is a lot for us. Yeah, it's a lot more novel for you.
Well, that's awesome, dude. I'm happy birthday. Do you have a little bonus link for us this week before you go?
I do. This is a fun YouTube channel called Project Air. He does a lot of RC car and plane type stuff. This particular one is an off-the-shelf RC plane that he bought, but he put rockets on it. So,
oh my gosh!
While it's flying, he could hit a button to launch the rockets and make it go wicked fast.
Oh god!
Also, awesome. First you throw it.
A little afterburner button, basically.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I gotta watch this whole thing.
Yeah, this I want to do stuff like this.
You should
I
want
to
do
add
this.
Rockets to more RC vehicles.
if I told you when my dad, you and my dad are similar souls. My dad, when I was a kid, we did the Pinewood Derby thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he figured out a way to rig this. Obviously, we couldn't compete in the proper contest, but he rigged a CO2 cartridge in the back of a car.
Oh, yeah.
And then made a launcher out of a mouse trap and a ruler. And it was just like super janky put together thing. But we raced it, and that thing just about hurt somebody. I mean, that thing flew out of there, ripped through the track, nearly hit a kid in the head, went halfway across the gym. It was an amazing thing. That's what this reminds me of. You guys would be fast friends if and generations were different. Anyway, very cool. Go check this one out. Again, this is Project Air on YouTube. And don't forget the Punish Props YouTube channel as well.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing stuff happening there. PunishProps.com as well. Bill, have a great week.
Thank you.
And
see you guys.
No more puking, all right? Slow down on the barfing.
Yeah. Cool.
Keep it on the inside.
Yeah, keep it. Sometimes it's good to reset, but I don't know. That would have been the end of my streak if I was Bill.
Right, So no deep sea fishing, not deep sea, but, you know, I guess it is deep sea fishing, right? Because it just wasn't, in the sea. He was out fishing for.
Yeah, I think you're still deep technically sea. Deep, you still sea, call fishing, it
deep
right?
sea fishing.
I mean, it doesn't have to all
in
be
in any case. That video is now on quicktms.li for those people who don't listen live and want to go see what the heck Bill was talking about.
Yeah, all these things we bring up, most of them go there. So check it out. It's a mostly. Resource, you know?
That's right. Mostly.
Mostly. We're going to add Bobby to this call, mostly. And it'll be great because Bobby is the man and he has a plan. Here's his intro. Oop, he quit. Oh, you know what? It's doing that thing. We figured something out. It's this Dunaway thing in the region. Well, we'll get to it in a second.
There's still something wrong, isn't there, Bill?
Oh, you're not Bill. Damn it.
Science!
Bob is hungry, and the soup looks good.
I just hit the wrong button. It wasn't because I confused him with Bobby or Bill.
Sure.
You're really making it clear that that's the case.
Yeah. Let me dig that. You have another shovel? I could use another shovel to dig this hole. Sorry, Bobby is here, and he's here to talk about science and stuff. But before we do, there is this thing that we think is going on. We finally have a theory. Dunaway has this problem, and you sometimes have this problem connecting. And we think it's something to do with the region you're in, which is down there in South Carolina somewhere, and where servers for Discord are located. Because every time there's like a weird little... What's that air RC something thing? That's
right, the code, yeah, the yeah, error yeah, message
yeah.
you get.
Yeah. Yeah, and it takes a while. Sometimes you have to reconnect. It's like stupid weird. And I think that's what happened. And I noticed something also. You guys tend to have a little more lag going your way and coming back than when we're on that connection. But if I switch things to be central, it fixes itself.
So our servers here in South Carolina, they're always trying to secede from the rest of the server.
Oh. Is it that?
That's the problem. Dang it.
Oh, man. I thought Texas was trouble. You guys down there.
That actually wasn't the problem this time. Claire had just sent me a message, and I accidentally called her real fast, and so I had to hang up.
Oh, you probably made her.
Did she answer and go, God damn that?
No. I hung up before anybody answered. She's doing an escape room right now, I guess.
Oh, really? Hilarious. What weird timing
Yeah, it's that was... But anyway, no, she didn't answer, and I called you real fast.
God damn it.
And let me ask you this. When you're doing well, you won't know this, but Claire would have to answer this, but if you do an escape room in Ireland, is it like, try, be careful and get away from the potato before it hit? I mean, like, what do they do there?
You have to find the pot of gold in order
That's
to.
That's right. Every escape room is the same way. It's, somewhere hidden in this room is a pot of gold, yeah, but you've got to beware of the lucky charms.
Yeah, you got a lucky charms. You got all the stereotypes.
I drove somebody, lifted the other day who, it was two women, wives to each other. And one runs this brewery and the other one runs this escape room next door. And they work together. So where you're at the escape room, you can actually order a drink. They will bring your drink into you in the escape room. They also serve food, but you can't have that in the escape room. But you can drink while you're in the escape room, which
really?
I thought was crazy.
That is crazy. You should do that one and tell us what that's like.
That's weird I wouldn't want to order a drink only because it would take time.
Well, that... You know, I mean, you just keep working while you're waiting for your drink, obviously. But
as long as I can just yell my order while I'm doing, because you're yelling
that's
everything.
Exactly
while
what
you're
you can.
Doing.
Yeah, that's exactly what you do.
So you're like, okay, you go over here and put that thing. Hey, I need a beer.
Exactly. I want a nice Irish stout. But the thing I'd be most worried about is people spilling on the delicate controls.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. That's a weird thing. That's like not like going to a movie theater and having food. It's like you're in an interactive environment where
you're
trying to
get out. You've got knobs and dials and little switches and things. You got to look for tiny keys. You can't get them all sticky with beer residue.
Yeah. But what are we, animals? No, we're not.
That's it. I'm going to go try it and I'll let you know.
Yeah, you should let us know, Brian.
working on yet another YouTube channel, Brian's Escape Room Reviews.
That's right. But that and Bill's new GoPro on a stick coming soon to a YouTube channel near you.
Perfect.
Bobby, it's good to have you here. We're going to start things with an email before we get to the science. And this deals with your whole flying world. And this is what Road Rash in Canada said. Oh, hold on. I said Canada.
Canada!
Here we go. For Bobby on flying and Microsoft Flight Simulator. Interesting. He says it's on the spring sale right now on Steam. This email's a little older, this text, so that's gone now. But it's also on Game Pass, everybody, if you want to play it there. Anyway, is it fun and worth the $60? Does it mimic the technical mechanics of flying closely enough? I'm not trying to be a pilot, but I enjoy an accurate simulation and real-world physics versus easy mode arcade style. Mouse and keyboard okay, or controller, or full yoke and foot pedals needed. Thanks, Road Rash. So have you messed around in there much? I assume you have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love Microsoft Flight Simulator. I think this is a good question for not just for this person, but for also for people like me who want to learn to fly and have questions about Microsoft Flight Simulator and its usefulness.
Can't you, instead of spending whatever the cost is now that it's an off sale and stuff, can't you just type some code into Excel and play it for free anywhere? Still,
yeah, it's just a secret field in Excel.
Secret field in Excel that you could type and you'd get there, like Windows 95 Flight Simulator, whatever it was.
There used to be a way. That was a thing, right?
That was a thing, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. This is, this new, I don't know if it's a version, is it 10 or something? Whatever it is the most realistic looking thing
it's
I've ever laid eyes
good.
On.
It's and insane. It's got nice VR support.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's so, got really good. They had this. So there were some bugs early on that were pretty funny, but it has this really cool geo mapping technique. So instead of them having to go and hand build all these landmarks, and because it's all based on actual, you know, distances of things, and everything in between is accurate and everything. But in the early days, it kind of reminds me of this AI stuff today, but in the early days, it would some things would be just too big. Like a tree for no reason in Montana would be like 9,000 feet tall, and they had to go bug squash it. But it's in really good shape and absolutely beautiful game.
Yep, it is. So I do reckon it's very realistic. It's so with caveats, right? And I'll explain what those caveats are when I explain how you would want to use it or not want to use it if you're actually learning how to fly. But it's very realistic. It is called Microsoft Flight Simulator, and so that's what they do. Is they're trying really hard to simulate flight, right? And they've got a lot of different planes in there, all the way from little Piper Cubs, like one or two seaters that are very small, all the way up to big A320 airliners. And you can fly all of them, and they've got good tutorials in there that teach you how to fly. They teach you about, you know, the somewhat of the aerodynamics of flight, but at least how to do it, what to press. You know, you've got just different things. You've got to worry about things like stalling and lift, and it's very realistic. The instruments all work, and you can do all kinds of stuff in there. You can play it with your keyboard and mouse. You can play it with an Xbox controller. You can actually get it on the Xbox. And you can get a full flight yoke. I've got one right here for that.
Let's take a look at that. Oh yeah, look
that's
at that.
Cool. Oh yeah, a little.
Oh, you have all the schmear. Okay.
Thing to clip and mount onto your.
I know some people get nuts about it, and they buy they build like a cockpit, and they go crazy.
Yeah, it can be very expensive. I want to get all sorts of stuff, but it's expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
Does it also have like foot rudder?
Yes, I'm not going to pull those out, but I do have the rudder pedals.
That's cool
as well, and.
Can
if
you
you're
use those
looking
push to talk like what you know when you're not playing?
I bet you can.
That'd be awesome. Yeah,
it'd be totally cool. Might as well. You've got them under there.
That's a wonderful
idea. I bet you can. Yeah. But I got so the question about what you should use, it depends on what you're trying to do. Like if you just want to fly around and look at things, like use whatever, the keyboard, mouse, use a controller. But if you're trying to, if you really want to feel the experience of flying a plane, I really do recommend getting at least a yoke and at least that. So a yoke, for people who don't know, are just the things you hold on to and turn to fly the plane. Like you pull back to go up, you push forward to go down, to pitch forward, and then you turn it left and right. You'll get a lot out of it just from that. I also got the throttle panel has the lever on it.
Right. Yeah, the whatever push forward pull back thing.
Yeah, and it's got like three levers on it that you can use to adjust throttle and mixture. Because when you're in a plane, you know, you're also controlling the air and fuel mixture and stuff like that. So, and the rudder pedals. You don't need that. That's like, so that's the order in which I would get those three things. If you're looking for simulation, is the first the flight yoke, then if you want to go further, I would get the levers, and then the rudder pedals. I would go at the end because those are probably the hardest thing to get used to how they actually work. And you can in Microsoft Flight Simulator, you can have it set up to automatically adjust the rudder for you.
Do they have a setting where I get stuck in Detroit for 3 hours and then my bag goes missing or any of that? Is that part of the simulation?
Yep. Yeah, you can be stuck in a holding pattern and then lose everybody's luggage. And,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. If somebody throw up during food service, it's just as realistic as it gets.
In terms of how closely it simulates, this is what my recommendation for anybody who's learning how to fly, like actually starting from zero and wanting to learn how to fly for real. If you really want a pilot's license, I suggest you not fly a flight simulator. And if you've already been flying a flight simulator and you plan to learn how to fly, I recommend stopping now. I speak from experience. I did learn a lot about instruments and I learned a lot about how the things in the plane work. But the problem is that when you fly in the flight simulator, you develop a lot of really bad habits because a lot of learning how to fly, especially small planes like Cessnas, a lot of learning how to fly is learning. You have to learn how to feel what's happening because you're in the air. You're flying. You know the old term "flying by the seat of your pants." That actually refers to how your body feels in the seat, and you need to. You can't simulate that, at least not in your home office. So it's really hard. So what happens is I flew probably 100 hours in Microsoft Flight Simulator before I ever took a lesson. And you develop all these habits because of the fact that you can't feel. So when you're learning how to fly, you have to learn how to look outside the plane and judge a lot of things by looking around you. Where's the horizon? Where are you in relation to the horizon? You know, pitching up and down, banking left and right, all that kind of stuff. And it feels a certain way. But since you can't feel that in Microsoft Flight Simulator, you end up developing a sense of looking at the instruments a lot, which are good and useful, but when you're first learning how to fly a plane, it's looking at the instruments too much is bad. You don't want to do that. So it took me a long time to break that habit.
So it's not quite as rudimentary as they always say, if you want to be in the Army, don't train on Call of Duty. You're not going to learn how to fire a gun. Like it's not real training. This is closer to, from a technical standpoint, closer to the simulation aspects of it, but you still, there's nothing like the actual deal, obviously.
Right. And there are some good uses for Microsoft Flight Simulator when you're learning how to fly, but not to actually learn how to operate and aviate the plane, like how to fly the plane. Microsoft Flight Simulator is really good as a procedural simulator. So there are a lot of things in flying where you have to learn procedures. When you start to get good at flying well enough that you're staying in the pattern and learning the step-by-step procedure about how to take off and land a plane, the simulator can be good for that because you have to memorize certain things. And so doing it over and over again at home can be really useful, as long as you are not trying to make a one-to-one connection between how things look in the simulator to how it's going to look in the real plane or how it's going to feel and stuff like that. Also, yeah. I haven't done this yet, but once you go start, if you're a pilot who decides to get an instrument rating, from my understanding, a flight simulator can be really useful for an instrument rating because of the reasons I just said before. You're flying only by the instruments, and there's a lot of procedure that you're trying to learn for things like how to make instrument approaches to airports and how to navigate only using instruments and stuff like that.
Yeah, and my understanding too, I'm watching video right now of a London to Paris flight on a commercial type jet, and it takes as long as it does.
Yes, that's 100% true. That's one of the fun things about it too, is that if I want to fly from here in Colombia to Atlanta, it's going to take, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it would take.
Right? Yeah, a lot of sky and clouds as part of that. Like, you're just going to be up there at 30,000 feet looking at nothing. Yeah. And it's like, you know what it's like? It's like that Euro truck simulator.
Yeah.
People think, oh, fun, I deliver stuff. No, this is like you're behind the wheel for 8 hours. Just driving in nowhere land, trying to get from one place to the other. And there is a market for that. People like that.
Yep.
It's not really for me so much. Like, for me, I've played Microsoft Simulator or Flight Simulator, but I played it on with some of the more arcadey settings. And the good news is, if that's what you're looking for, you can totally do that. You can have real simple map to your controller kind of controls. And if you want to see what it's like to slam your jet into a Eiffel Tower and get yourself on a list, go for it. But it's for the folks who really want, like, this, they want to simulate the experience, the procedures, the cloud cover, all those aspects, and the time it takes you to get from, like, New York to London. Good deal. That's what this does.
Yeah. And you can control all that too. You can control the weather. You can control where the cloud bases are, how much the wind is, what the cloud coverage is. You can control. One of the things they added in this current version of Microsoft Flight Simulator is, you were talking about, like, if you fly from, like, New York to London,
yeah,
how long is that's going to take? A long time,
right,
in the game. But they actually made it to where you can speed up, or like you can cut out the time if you want.
Yeah,
to.
You can skip it if you want.
The long, boring parts.
Yeah.
You can, like, skip forward. Like, you've got everything set up, and you're just flying, and you can skip to, like, a certain point in your flight.
Let's skip all the Atlantic and get right to the coast.
Yeah, get out of the ocean.
Honestly, because you might want to do that, you know?
Yeah, I'd like to do that when I'm on that flight. That'd be cool.
No kidding.
Yeah. So that's why I try to sleep. I'm not very good at it, but I try.
Right.
Very cool. All right. Well, there's our little bonus conversation. If you guys have a question for Bobby or for Bill or anybody else who's on Tuesdays, you can always send those in. We're happy to read them here on the show. Bobby, you didn't bring just that, though. What else did you bring today? What's going on?
I brought a really quick thing. It's actually fortunate that we had a question, because I didn't think I was going to make it today because of flying lessons, and then they got canceled and all this kind of stuff. So I threw together something real fast, which was that just yesterday, April 3rd, for anybody listening on the podcast after the fact, NASA announced the names of the next astronauts to go to the moon.
Mm.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. The actual Artemis crew just got announced yesterday. And it's pretty exciting. I mean, like, these are the first people in over 50 years that are going to go to the moon.
And are they going to just orbit around it, or are they going to set foot on? Yeah, okay.
So this is the Artemis 2 mission. They're just going to orbit around the moon. A lot of it is to test and practice all the operations that are going to happen for when they finally do go on a mission. I think Artemis 3 actually is the next one is supposed to go land on the moon. I could be wrong about that.
Have you noticed these people look like AI generated people?
I was gonna say that to you. Yeah. And it made me wonder.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah,
that picture does look like it was made by AI. It's a real picture. God. But it made me realize I can't trust photos anymore.
I know.
Yeah. No,
even if it's not AI, it looks like just 3D generated from a good video game.
Yeah, like a video game's presenting a trip to Mars or something, and here's your crew, and pick your hero, and you're going to go play that person.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, right. It's very weird, and I didn't expect that when I saw it yesterday. But part of me was stoked. I was excited, and then I went, I can no longer tell reality from not reality anymore.
Yeah. Anyway. But you'll notice when you look at that picture, you'll notice right away that the exciting thing is that the first woman and first person of color to go to the moon are in that picture.
Oh yeah, that's great.
So that's cool. That's a big deal.
There they are, very more exciting. Full-bodied shot. Still looks AI generated. Still says that same.
I swear,
you could
have just shown me the heads, and I would have said probably an astronaut.
Yeah,
like if I didn't see the suit, the uniforms.
Yeah.
No kidding. Especially that guy on the right. He's the one of the mission specialists. He's a Canadian.
Oh, cool.
And he definitely looks like an astronaut.
He does. He looks like he's got he goes by a nickname. He doesn't go by his actual name. He looks like he goes by, you know, Brick. Brick Taylor.
Yeah,
or
Brick,
something like,
Brick,
you know.
Taylor's a perfect name. Brick Taylor. Oh my gosh.
That square jaw.
Yep. Yeah. These guys are the way you tell it's not AI though, you zoom down to their laps and their helmet there, and you can see their hands, those fingers all look good. Those are people.
They only have five fingers. Yeah.
If you only got five fingers. Yeah.
Fascinating.
I hope that they always keep that in AI so we can tell the difference.
I know. That should be That should be the agreed to watermark for all AI generation. Yeah. The fingers will be effed. That's how we'll know.
Yep.
Anyway,
so the names of the four people are the commander. The mission commander is Reed Wiseman. He's been up. This is his second trip to space. He spent 165 days in space. He's going to be the mission commander. The pilot is Victor Glover. And he's also been to space before on the ISS, the International Space Station.
Wow.
There's
just first person of color to go to the moon, but first person of color to leave Earth's orbit.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's flying the thing. That is amazing. Like, can you imagine being a pilot of a spaceship? Oh my
God. Dude, I know. Wow. He looks like a badass too. Look at that guy. Mm-hmm. I like him. Yeah. He looks like he's going to save all
their
asses.
What a friendly badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When something goes wrong, oh, no, we're leaking schmoo fluid from the ding-dong, he's going to walk in and go, I got this. I got this.
Yeah. Anyway. Yep, that's what he's going to do. Christina Hammock Koch. I don't know what her name is.
Yeah.
She's a mission specialist. There are two mission specialists. The other one is Jeremy Hansen, a.k.a. Brick.
Jeremy Brick Hansen. I like Brick Hansen even better.
Brick Hansen.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's the other mission specialist, and he's the Canadian. I think it's the first Canadian to work with NASA on these. I'm probably wrong about that. I shouldn't say that.
Oh, we forgot to fuel it up. Sorry. That's what he'll say.
Canada.
That's great. Great Canadians. Lots of cool space people in Canada. Who's the dude up there with the mustache everyone loves?
I wish you hadn't. Yeah. Because he's a cool guy who's always up
guy.
In the space station talking to everyone.
He's just great. Someone in the chat will know his name. I can't remember his name. He's awesome, though. So Canada, look. Oh, Chris Hadfield.
Chris Hadfield.
It.
Yes.
Hadfield, yeah.
The guy who sang the cover of Bowie's Space Oddity.
Yes. Oh, yeah, right. That was him.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Chris Redfield, who is just a Resident Evil character. Not real.
Oh, I always get those two confused.
Yeah,
always.
It's hard to mix them up or not mix them up.
Why is that guy from Resident Evil singing that David Bowie song?
And why is this spaceman shooting zombies?
You almost became a David Bowie sandwich.
Oh, my Lord. Well, this is great. Great news. And when is this mission? Yeah. It's a ways off, right?
I think it's sometime next year, I think.
Oh,
but
that's sooner than I thought. I thought it was like years and years away. I don't know why I thought that.
I honestly don't remember. I don't pay close attention to the dates when they're this far away because NASA always delays. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I try not to get too excited.
Yeah. Understandable. But this is still cool. And
it
even
is very
though,
cool. Yeah. I just can't imagine being one of those people and they're going to be going to the moon, you know?
Yeah. Well, spacesuits are badass too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're new, brand new spacesuits. That's one of the big deals is that, there were new spacesuit designs that are supposed to be more modular and easier. Cause one of the problems that NASA's always had is you had to be in the specifications to become an astronaut, you had to be a certain height and size because their spacesuits only fit certain kinds of people.
Right.
Sure.
Because they were just, until these ones, they've been using the same spacesuits that were made
in the 60s.
In like the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So are you saying that James Bond couldn't have just taken Jaws' suit in Moonraker and put it on because they have a different body type? What?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, there it is. Look forward to it. And I don't know. Stuff like this makes me optimistic about humanity. I need more of these sorts of stories.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, we're going to the moon again for real. And look at all these cool people and they're all ready to go. And they look like AI-generated robots, and that's also
And
cool.
usually don't get scandals around astronauts. Usually astronauts are like, you know, the best of us, unless they're that woman who peed in a bladder, drove across country to stalk her.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
That was weird. Yeah, that was that was a weird one.
I forgot about diaper lady.
But other astronauts.
Yeah, most of them.
One bad astronaut doesn't spoil the whole flight crew.
No. That's the one bad apple scenario. It actually applies to astronauts.
It does. Yeah.
Sometimes not cops so much. Anyway, well, that's fantastic. Good news, everyone. We're going to the moon. And quick question. Is the point to just go there again? Or is the point to do a bunch of new shit that we didn't do before?
Oh, holy cow. The point is we're trying to build a moon base, Scott.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Refueling
base
for further exploration.
We had this whole story on here about, did we bring it up on this show, how Rolls-Royce has a deal for powering something or bringing internet up there or something like that? They're doing something.
Yeah, you know that that's not the car company, right?
It's the parent company that owns it all, right? They do cars, but they do other stuff.
No, so I'm pretty sure it's a different company because they just, it's like, you know how two companies might split off and they just like one of them just puts like limited at the end of it.
Yeah.
And then, but they have the same name, but they're like two different companies. I think that's the situation with.
There are two Rolls Royces? Come on.
Well, okay. So there's motor cars and then there's Rolls-Royce delivering power. Let's see, Power Solutions. Those are the ones, whoever they are, but they seem like they're the same parent.
I'm certainly have not looked deep into it, but I think that's what I heard. I don't know.
All right, I'm gonna look them up later.
But even if what you originally said is right, it's not the same. They're not like making cars and
No, they're like
the overall parent company.
Yeah, they're like GE when they split up and did a bunch of weird stuff, or when IBM broke out, you know, different services or whatever, and became like, okay, well, sure, they still do some consumer stuff, but really, the main company now is doing all this like high end, whatever. I think it's like that. But anyway, that's kind of cool.
Sure enough, Rolls-Royce.com, Pops and Recline found a link. So they're backing it to do the nuclear power plant to put on the moon for future use.
Yeah, that's what it is. Well, I don't know if they're working with them on this particular mission or not, but I knew it was the moon. Mm-hmm. But I want to go to the moon. Let's go. Yeah. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Can I
go to the moon.
Can I get a Kevin Spacey voiced robot up there, or is that not an option anymore?
So you want that?
I mean, if it's just his voice and not his behavior, I'm okay with that, I think. Yeah. Although if I get to choose voice,
right?
Give me like, I don't know, we talked about Attenborough earlier. Give me that voice. Give me David Attenborough.
I mean, you know, could Bowie's son just go in and put a new voice into that? It's not like you have to match it up with any mouth movements or anything.
Well, that's true. They could redo that movie.
You could redo that movie with a different voice.
I want a robot with Gilbert Gottfried's voice.
Oh my gosh. Rest his soul. I think his family would approve your idea. I think he'd be.
You want me to open the pod bay doors? I can't do that right now. You're gonna have to do something else because I can't open the pod bay doors.
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that.
Rest in peace. All right, Bobby. Always fascinating stuff as usual. And if you want more science content, good news. Bobby makes a podcast called All Around Science. Tell them about it and where they can get it.
I do have a podcast called All Around Science. More of my co-hosts just actually, so we talked about the people here, but before they were announced, last week's episode that just came, or the one we recorded last week that just came out yesterday, Maura talked all about the Artemis II mission and what they're going to be doing. So if you're curious about that, you were asking about that, Scott. If you're curious about it, go listen. All Around Science. You can find it wherever. All Around Science. Real fast before I go, I do have to mention.
Yeah.
Because I talked about it last week, I know you two know, but I should let everybody else know. I did pass my medical flight test.
Congratulations!
Hey, yay! Yeah.
Woohoo!
The eyes have it.
Yeah. So if anybody, if you're up there and somebody goes, "Ah, my spleen," you'll know what to do.
Exactly. I'll ask if there's a doctor on the plane.
Yep. Fantastic. Were you as nervous as you thought you would be? Did you?
I was very nervous, but the guy did a really good job of putting me at ease, and it was mostly fun once we got up in the air. And when I got down, he said, "You done good." Yep. And now I'm just waiting for the paperwork, and then I'll be able to start flying lessons solo.
What would happen? Let me ask you a scenario. Okay, you're going up in the air. You're up there. How high do you get in these planes that you're flying right now?
When I'm flying, usually I'm somewhere between like 1,500 to 3,500 feet.
All right, let's say you're 3,500 feet. Everything's going great. And you get up there, and he goes, okay, now level off. And you're like, okay, I'm leveling off. And then he goes, now take off your pants. What would you do? What would your reaction be? Would you immediately nosedive and go, I'm out of here, buddy? And you go, like, land, or what would you do? Eject?
I would unlatch his door.
Kick him out with your left leg and fly home. All right, fair enough. Yep. I don't know why that popped into my head, but it did.
We all know why that popped into your head.
We have an idea.
You're the only one who doesn't know why.
I'm honestly surprised it took this long for you to ask me that question.
I just like to think of all the scenarios, you know? It's just always there. Bobby, have a fantastic week. I look forward to next Tuesday, and even more so in a few weeks, seeing you in Las Vegas, Nevada.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I'll see you later. Bye now. All right. There goes Bobby.
Cool.
Okay, Brian, couple easy things here to mention. There is a stream today that people may want to attend. I don't know. If you're a sucker for me being a freak and being scared of things on a screen, then today's your day. 3 to 5 p.m. today. Resident Evil 4 Remake Playthrough Part 2 with me and John Jagger. We'll be streaming that at twitch.tv/frogpants. That'll be every Tuesday until we're done. So do check that out. That's 3 p.m. through 5 p.m. today. That's Mountain Time. Right here at twitch.tv/frogpants. So check that out. 2 hours of ridiculous, stupid, scary things.
Will there be... Oh, no.
There might be that. There could be... Right. That might happen.
Okay.
Can't think what else. There might be a little bit of... Here, hold on. Maybe there's this. Hold on. Maybe this right here. We'll see. We'll see how
good,
I do.
Good. That's good, too.
Yeah. Maybe a shit on me or a shit potatoes. That might happen.
A mention of Mark Knopfler, parts of Mark Knopfler's body.
It's so funny that you always remember that. I saw an interview with him, some short YouTube thing, where he's talking about how he came up with the riff for the money for the chicks for free. Yeah. And it was interesting, his whole process and everything. But the whole time, all I could think about is yelling Mark Knopfler's penis or whatever. Just a weird thing to do. Anyway, that'll be tonight. So check it out. Patreon.com/TMS is how you support this show. We lost a couple of you last month. We need you back or someone to take their place.
Come back.
Into their place, somebody, or up your thing so that it's keeps the ship even. You know, we want to.
Exactly. Or even make the ship float a little higher. Listen, we've said this before. If everybody listening to our voices right now just put in $1 a month, then we'd have, I think we'd reach our Frogpants All-Stars trivia game level. We'd, I could quit lifting, even though it gives a lot of fun stories. I could just put that aside.
Yeah. And you could do it before the robots take over and do self-driving. So
robots are going to be here anytime.
Yeah, they're coming anyway. May as well get out in front of it. So, look, I realize there are people who, for whatever reason, they're having a rough month or it's a little tight, and they got to put it on pause for a while. I get it. I totally get it. And no shade in your direction. Please keep listening to the free version of the show. We don't have a problem with that. But if anyone else out there is like, well, I'm doing real good right now, your dollar could come in, you know, your dollar.
Yeah.
Anyway, go check it out and see what you think. Patreon.com/TMS for all the details. Let's get out of here. We need a song, though. Did you bring one?
Brought a song, and this one's going out to Matthew. Said, good morning, Skittles and Buttons. A year ago, I started a new job, and Brian was good enough to play my request to celebrate. I sure was. Well, I'm back again to request another song on the first anniversary. I know you're worried that he was going to say, and I just got fired, so can you play a song about... No.
That would suck.
Who knew you could go to work each day and not hate what you do? A big part of this has been thanks to my colleague, 80. We quickly bonded over our love of Stranger Things, so I wanted to request this cover of a Kate Bush song. Thanks for all the joy you both bring each weekday morning. Signed, Matthew. Well, happy first anniversary in your new job. Glad you love it. And big thanks to 80 for providing you some friendship there at the new job. This is not the song the Kate Bush song you most associate with Stranger Things, which is Running Up That Hill. This is a different one. This is the one that Matthew requested, and I like it. I like hearing a different take on this. This is very similar to one that I got from Lit Riffs, which takes Kate Bush's Wuthering Heights and just adds a nice little guitar hard edge to it. This is so good. This is by a band called China Drum. This is from the album. No, I'm sorry. It's from a single that they released in 1996. Here is Wuthering Heights by China Drum.
Temper like my jealousy, too hot, too greedy. How could you leave me when I needed to possess you? I hated you, I loved you too. Bad dreams in the night, they told me I was going to lose the fight. Leave behind my wuthering, wuthering, wuthering heights.
Like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I told him to go have intercourse with himself. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.